Come to order, Chandra. Will you please call the roll?
Chair Trujillo, Vice Chair Porter.
Here.
Representatives Albritton.
Here.
Anton. Cumby.
Here.
Dental.
Here.
Eagle.
Here.
Hudson.
Here.
Hudson.
Here.
Reed. Rogers.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Watson. We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Chandra. Let the record show that a quorum is present. And obviously, I am not Chair Trujillo. He has been unavoidably delayed due to an airplane malfunction. So let's all be grateful that they waited and got it right. All right, so I just want to remind everyone, please turn off your cell phones. And if anyone does wish to speak today, please complete an appearance record and give it to one of our staff members. So today we have a presentation on three proposed committee bills. We'll hold an informal workshop on these PCBs today, and it is the intention to hold a vote on all three during our next committee meeting. And now our committee policy, Chief Ryan West, is recognized to take us through each proposal.
Thank you, Vice Chair Porter. I'll start with, we have two legislative proposals by the Division of Emergency Management. The first relates to Emergency Management Assistant Compact. Chapter 112 Florida statutes outlines travel policy for state employees and caps per diem at $36 per day. Florida has sent Division of Emergency Management employees on Emergency Management Assistance Compact missions, or also referred to as EMAC, where employees were forced to pay out-of-pocket expenses due to being in locations where costs of living were significantly higher than Florida. EMAC is a federal program whereby states in need of disaster request aid through a mutual aid request for assistance. This serves as a mere pass-through from the requesting state, so a state requesting help from Florida will cover expenses for Florida employees. It's my understanding, due to how the statutes were written, the division did not feel comfortable allowing their employees to accept more than $36 per day when on a mission to assist another state, despite it not being state funds. This change is narrowly drafted and will only apply to state of Florida employees on EMAC missions and has no fiscal impact on state funds. Is there any... Correct. An EMAC mission would be where a state, an example would be the state of Alaska, had a disaster situation and requested aid. The Florida Division of Emergency Management sent employees to assist in Alaska, and some of those employees were forced to pay hundreds of dollars out of pocket. And we're not talking extravagant, we're talking just meals and just basic expenses. It would be from when another state requests Florida for help. Seeing no other questions, I'll move on. The second proposal from the division relates to a special needs registry. Current law requires counties to maintain a registry for persons with special needs. While counties are instructed to maintain a registry, there is no consistent format followed by each county. Some counties may have files electronically, and some may be as rudimentary as note cards in a file cabinet. The PCB will require the Division of Emergency Management to develop a statewide registry for persons with special needs. The division will work with individual counties to provide information for local emergency management purposes. A unified registry provides the state with access to view and monitor overall registrants and develop a marketing campaign to encourage individuals to register, and better helps the division respond and provide resources before, during, and after a disaster. There will be no fiscal impact to state funds. Federal funds from the Emergency Management Performance Grant Program can be expended to develop the database. The second PCB for the Division of Emergency Management relates to a public records exemption. Section 119 Florida statutes provides public records exemptions for information furnished by a person to an agency for the purpose of being provided with emergency notification. However, information collected through Florida Division of Emergency Management's Get a Plan website for a family, individual, or business building an emergency plan is subject to public records request. An emergency management plan or emergency plan is customized for an individual, family, or business based on specific details provided, and it may include sensitive data. Information being subject to a public records request has served as a disincentive, particularly to some businesses that may want to use the website to develop a disaster plan. The PCB will provide that information furnished by a person or business to an agency for the purpose of being provided with assistance in emergency management planning or business data used for development of a plan will be exempt from public records. I have reached out to the First Amendment Foundation, and as of my last conversation, they have taken a neutral position on this public records exemption.
Any questions from the members?
All right. The third PCB that we will hear next week is related to general economic development. It does contain a couple of items requested by the Department of Economic Opportunity, and I'll go through their request first. The Small Cities Community Development Block Grants is a federally administered program by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. HUD provides grants directly to larger local governments and municipalities called entitlement areas. In 1981, the Housing Community Development Act was amended to allow states to administer grants to smaller cities and rural areas called non-entitlement areas. HUD distributes funds based on a statutory formula, and grants flow from HUD directly to local governments, not to individuals or entities. This federal fiscal year, Florida received roughly $24.2 million in grants. Congress has given states broad latitude to administer the program in non-entitlement areas, so long as states stay within the framework provided by federal law. DEO administers the Small Cities CDBG program, and current law requires 70% of grants to benefit persons of low to moderate income. The PCB will make the following changes. It'll add economic need as a factor that will make a Florida municipality eligible to receive CDBG funds. DEO will distribute grants and loan guarantees through a competitive application selection process. The PCB will change one of the eligible grant categories from housing to housing rehabilitation to ensure that funding does not go toward new housing construction. The PCB will remove weighted percentages assigned to specific grant categories and certain criteria for scoring applications that restricted the program flexibility. It will increase the number of public hearings required by a local government from 1 to 2, but it will eliminate the requirement that a local government establish a citizens advisory task force. According to the department, local governments were missing out on grants due to the inability for smaller communities to meet the requirements that accompanied forming a citizens advisory task force. Finally, the PCB will place hard caps on the administrative costs so more funds end up in the projects that benefit Floridians. Similar language passed this subcommittee last year. The League of Cities had some concerns over a couple of provisions, and it's my understanding that the department worked very closely with the League over the summer and the fall, and the League of Cities will support the language towards the CDBG program changes.
Any question from the members of the committee? Proceed.
Okay. The second request from the department relates to revolving loan programs. Current law does not allow the department to evaluate the financial health of applicants for revolving loan programs. The PCB will make some changes. It will define loan program and loan administrator in Chapter 288. DEO will be authorized to evaluate the overall financial health of loan recipients or potential loan recipients before certifying or recertifying their participation in the program. Participants will be required to disclose potential financial conflicts of interest. Loan programs affected by these changes are in Chapter 288 and they include the Rural Community Development Revolving Loan Program, Economic Gardening Business Loan Pilot Program, and the Black Business Loan Program, the Florida Minority Business Loan Mobilization Program, and the Florida Export Finance Corporation loans should not be affected as they're not directly administered by the department.
All right, any questions on that section from the members? All right, seeing none, you can proceed.
Thank you. The PCB also will address reemployment assistance tax payments. Current law allows employers to pay their reemployment assistance taxes in four equal installments during a single taxable year. This has been useful to certain businesses in the state that may operate without large cash reserves or may benefit from being able to spread out their tax payments. This provision is set to expire at the conclusion of the 2014 tax year. The PCB will extend this provision through the 2018 tax year. The reason 2018 was selected was this concept was originally put in statute at the height of the Great Recession to help Florida businesses. Participation in the program has decreased as the economy has improved, but it is still being utilized. Staff felt by the 2018 tax year, the legislature could examine if businesses were still being helped by this provision and make a long-term decision on whether to eliminate installment plans at that time, extend once again, or make the program permanent. The Department of Revenue is implementing this program currently at no fiscal impact to the state.
All right. Any questions from the committee on that? Okay. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair.
Recognize.
Just some questions. So this has only been implemented once, and this is just simply extending it. Has the chamber taken a stance on it previously, and what's their stance now?
It was created during the sort of the height of the recession. Can you repeat the part about were you asking if the Chamber of Commerce supports it?
Yes, what they've said about it in the past, and because
I'm not sure. I think there's a representative from the Florida Chamber here,
Okay. And
I would prefer they speak to whether they support it or not.
Could we?
You're recognized.
Thank you, members. My name is David Daniel. The implementation of this provision was done in 2010. I was actually the Vice President of Government Affairs at the Florida Chamber of Commerce. During that time period, the Chamber does support this issue. As you'll recall, when pre-recession, employers were paying $8 per head at the minimum for the minimum rate for employees. That rate skyrocketed to about $120. The rates are distributed to the business community from DOR late November around Thanksgiving time. And so the business community came and said, wait a second, David, you know, my bill was $100,000 in unemployment compensation taxes, and now I've got a $1 million bill. Where am I supposed to come up with that money? My budgets are already done. And so we worked with DOR to create an installment pay plan that would allow the business community to not pay any less in taxes. In fact, to choose this option, you have to pay a fee to DOR to implement that. But it allows that installment pay plan, really the time value of money for a business, should they choose this option.
Thank you, Chair. Well, the reason I ask that is because as much as I like the extension of it, I'd prefer to see it permanent, and, you know, the sooner the better, in my opinion.
You're recognized.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. That is really a legislative decision. The business community is just looking for an extension and not for it to expire. So whether it's 14, 18, or at infinitum, that's really a decision of the legislature.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay. I'm sure I don't need to tell you this, but please make sure you fill out an appearance card. Any other questions from the committee? Oh, I'm sorry. I have Representative Watson and, okay, then you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not so sure about permanent, but I certainly think an extension is in order. If you look at the business climate, we're trying to be competitive and hire more people to deal with the economic downturn. I think extending that will give businesses an opportunity to take care of their employees. We're not stopping the payment. They're going to continue to make the same payment. This is going to be broken up so that they can better manage their budgets. So I think it's a good idea. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How are you today? Happy New Year to everyone. This question speaks to David, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Thank you. David, in 2010, the discussion was around the state of Florida businesses owing the federal government. They were delinquent in some ways. Maybe I'm using the wrong terminology to explain the owe to the federal government for their unemployment compensation tax. Could you explain to us where we are today?
recognized.
Sure. Thank you. Yes, unemployment compensation taxes, just to get us all on the level playing field. Businesses are charged an unemployment compensation tax both from the state of Florida and they're charged one from the federal government. There is an interrelation between those two to the extent that the state doesn't owe any money. You have a credit that you get from the federal government. Due to the significant run-up in unemployment, we went from about a $2 billion reserve in the Unemployment Compensation Trust Fund. That dropped off to really a negative balance. When states owe money, they borrow it from the federal government, and then there was a time period that you had to pay it back without interest, and then if you had that deficit, then you would start paying interest on that. We ran up a pretty significant bill to the federal government in borrowing from the federal government, but I'm happy to say that bill has been paid off. We do not owe any more to the federal government. We're not making interest payments. That was last year, and so we're still in a position of recovery. Businesses, the unemployment compensation rates do appear to be coming down as the economy continues to improve. Yes, ma'am.
Quick follow-up, Madam Chair.
Follow-up.
It's on. Thank you. Do you think that the installment payments allowed businesses to be able to pay back what was owed to the federal government? Do you think the state of Florida allowing our businesses to go into an installment payment plan helped during that those difficult period?
What I think the installment pay plan does primarily is it allows those businesses to stay in business that can't afford that bill. If not for the installment pay plan, it's my opinion that businesses would have said, I can't pay this bill, I'm going to have to shut my doors down, and that would have then been pushed off to the rest of the business community in the state of Florida. So in a way, yes, I don't know whether it lessens or knows, but to the business community, it allows us to stay in business and keep the people employed.
Thank you. Representative Albritton, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As we're going through and having this conversation about permanency of this, I'd like to remind everybody, we write laws every year that change the statutes. The only thing that's consistent is our Constitution. What really might be important about this is the messaging. So if we as a legislature decide to make this permanent, maybe word of that will spread. Maybe others around the country would think we're potentially more serious about economic development. So just a thought.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Any further questions from the committee? All right, no. Okay, you're recognized to continue.
Thank you, Chairman. Our next change relates to rural areas of critical economic concern. Both the Department of Economic Opportunity and Enterprise Florida have encountered instances where businesses were hesitate to relocate to a Florida location named a rural area of critical economic concern. And in economic development, branding matters. Florida has three RACICs, a Northwest, a North Central, and a South Central. This PCB will rebrand rural areas of critical economic concern as rural areas of opportunity. There's no fiscal impact.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, you're recognized to continue.
The next item is small business creation and growth. The PCB incorporates language from House Bill 321 from 2013 that will exempt certain development of small businesses from having to comply with impact fee concurrency or proportionate share requirements for transportation impacts for a three-year period. Residential development is not eligible to utilize any exemptions, and the exemptions will only apply to new business development that is 6,000 square feet or less. This is designed to limit impact to local governments and ensure that those receiving the benefits are small businesses. The exemptions do not apply to school concurrency requirements or to developments in municipalities that utilize mobility fee-based funding systems. Local governments do have the option to revoke this exemption with a simple majority vote at a public notice meeting, and developers also have the option to not have this exemption applied.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the committee on this section? Representative Rogers, you're recognized.
Can you help me define small businesses, please?
It would be the PCB will, the development must be a non-residential development that is less than 6,001 square feet. It will not define small business, but The idea is if you are developing a location that's small and it's non-residential, that the likelihood it would be a small business that would be utilizing that.
Okay, any further questions from the committee? Representative Reed.
I never can quite get that button right. Happy New Year, everyone. My concern is on the small businesses. It says non-residential. You know, there's a great number of mom and pops nurseries that take place throughout the county, the city, and all rural areas. And in a rural area, I could see that happening more so than it would any other place. I'm a little bit concerned about, you said non-residential, right?
Correct. It would apply to developments that are non-residential.
So if it's a daycare that's owned by a mom and a pop, and they take half of their house and turn it into a daycare, could that be non-residential? Would that be?
It would be a new development. So if the house was existing, mm-hmm. and had already been built, this would be an exemption that would have to apply after. It would have to apply for developments beginning in 2014. So it would have to be a new construction of a non-residential establishment. I'm sorry.
One follow-up. I just want to ask, this part would be a new development in a sense because it would be renovated to a daycare versus being part of a residence. And I'm just thinking of that totally. You know, there's other small businesses I'm sure would take the same, would be in the same position.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is it would be a new construction style development.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, Representative Reed, if it's zoned residential, it would not qualify for these fees. You're going to have to come, staff. She told me too quickly. If you could.
Yeah. So if it's zoned, no development could happen in an area that is zoned for residential development. It would have to be a non-residential development, smaller, that 6,000 square feet or smaller, and it would need to be a new development. These exemptions only apply for 3 years, and they only apply to transportation concurrency requirements.
Okay. Representative Reed, are you good? Okay. Representative Castor-Dendel.
Thank you, Chair. What does the League of Cities feel about this one?
Last year they opposed this provision. This was House Bill 321 by Representative La Rosa. It passed out of the subcommittee. It passed out of the Florida House. It did not pass out of the Senate. I believe my recollection was they opposed this provision.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any further questions from the committee? All right, seeing none, you're recognized to continue.
Okay. The PCB will incorporate two changes requested by Space Florida. Current law requires Space Florida to consult with Enterprise Florida in developing a space tourism marketing plan. This role is better suited for an organization such as Visit Florida. The PCB replaces Enterprise Florida with Visit Florida as the entity Space Florida is to collaborate with in developing a space tourism marketing plan. The second change will be to remove the requirement for Space Florida to develop a center of excellence. Space Florida's mission is one of an economic development entity and a spaceport authority. The Center of Excellence piece has not been funded by the legislature since 2008. And developing a center of excellence would likely be better suited for an organization other than Space Florida.
Any questions from the committee? Any questions from the committee? All right, seeing none, you're recognized to proceed.
Okay. The subcommittee will vote on these PCBs next week. We will notice later this afternoon, and that will include attaching full PCB drafts to the notice. The analysis for all three PCBs will be published no later than tomorrow afternoon, and this will provide members almost 7 days to read the PCBs and 6 days to read the analysis.
Representative Rogers, you're recognized.
Thank you for your kind consideration. Can you, someone explain to me again the development of a center of excellence? What was behind that concept, and why is it now, although it's not funded, why is it now not important? It was then, and now we're thinking it's not.
You want to answer that? Okay. You recognize?
So the requirement for a center of excellence was put in for Space Florida to develop, I believe it was an aviation and an aeronautical center of excellence. The legislature never funded the effort. Space Florida, to my knowledge, went to the legislature and talked about this, the lack of funding, and it was never funded. The agency feels like it was never a priority for the legislature. It's not their expertise to develop a center of excellence, so they have requested that they remove the requirement.
Okay. Any further questions on this particular section from the committee? Okay. Thank you very much, Ryan. Are there any additional questions in general from the committee members? Okay. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak that has not done so already? All right. Is there any further business? No. We are good and efficient. All right. Well, seeing no more further business from the members of the committee, Representative Hudson, without objection, moves we adjourn.